Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church.
To the first book of the Bible,
praying
the book of Genesis.
That God will change you in a powerful way.
We're going to be looking today.
Blessings.
At Jacob's life as we find it recorded here in Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to begin the reading with verse 22. Reading here concerning Jacob. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his seven sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. That word Peniel literally means face of God. For Jacob said, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. What we just read here in this 32nd chapter of Genesis is the second major spiritual experience of Jacob's life. The first one came back a few chapters earlier in chapter 28 in a place that would be called Bethel. It was there that Jacob had a dream, and in this dream he saw a ladder with angels ascending and descending. And when he awoke from the dream, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." And he named that place Bethel, which means house of God. I want to suggest to you today that everyone needs a Bethel experience. Everyone needs that initial experience of coming into a consciousness of the presence of the living God. But what I want you to see here is that Jacob didn't stay in Bethel. He moved to a place called Jabbok. Jabbok was a small tributary stream of water east of the Jordan River. And it was there at Jabbok that Jacob had a second and even greater experience with God. Look, there's no question that Jacob had an experience with God at Bethel. No doubt about it. But Jacob was still the old Jacob, so to speak. He was still the conniver and the schemer at that point. His name, Jacob, means supplanter, one who overtakes another by seizing his heel. It means to trip up and even to deceive. I want you to look here at the conversation between Isaac and Esau. Isaac said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And now look, he has taken away my blessing." Jacob was a shrewd, cunning man. He was all about the art of the deal. He was not someone that you would necessarily want to do business with. If Jacob had been a car salesman, he would have been the car salesman of the year. You would never come out on top with Jacob. And the evidence of that is in his dealings with his brother Esau. Jacob wanted that birthright. And he watched and he waited for the right opportunity, the right moment. And he made the deal of a lifetime. He obtained his brother's birthright for a bowl of lentil stew. And so this passage that we just read a few moments ago that I began with, it took place as Esau was now coming after Jacob for retribution. He's coming with 400 armed men. Jacob finds himself alone. He's afraid. He's trying to scheme. He's still trying to scheme and connive his way out of this. But his experience at Jabbok changed everything. It changed everything. At Bethel, Jacob saw a ladder. At Jabbok, he saw the face of God and lived to tell about it. At Bethel, Jacob was a believing man. At Jabbok, he became a broken and a blessed man. At Bethel, Jacob died to sin. At Jabbok, he died to himself, to his own self-governance. And at Bethel, Jacob had a spring in his step. But he left Jabbok with a lasting limp, but his heart was changed forever. God not only changed his heart, but he changed his name. God said, you will no longer be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel, which means clinging firmly to God and overcoming. The name Israel carries the concept of being governed by God, having power with God, ruling with God. And so, I see four parts of Jacob's experience with God at Jabbok that I want to share with you today. The first thing that I see is what I'm going to call a pervasive problem. And I call this a pervasive problem because it wasn't like Jacob just had this little problem off to the side that he was dealing with. He had a problem that was pervasive. It was all encompassing. It was affecting every part of his life. Jacob was hemmed in with nowhere to go. Esau was coming after him. And he couldn't go the other way because he had a falling out with his uncle Laban. And Laban had erected a pile of stones, which was symbolic of meaning that Jacob could no longer come back to Haran. And so Jacob the conniver, he had no place to go. It was a Red Sea experience. He was trapped. His only hope was for God to part the waters. I want to ask a question to you, for you today. Have you ever had a problem so big that unless God intervened, there was no way out? I have. I have more than once. I've had times in my life where all I could do was just stand still and wait. And it's when we wait that we're wrestling. We're trying to figure things out and we're wrestling in that waiting period. You remember the prophet Jonah? Jonah had a pervasive problem. He was trying to run from God. How many of you know you can't run from God very long? He was trying to run from God. And he was swallowed by this great fish. There are some who believe that it was 120 degrees inside that fish. And as all the stuff was sloshing about, he probably had seaweed wrapped all around his head. It was a living hell inside that fish. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And you heard my voice. There are times when the only solution is deliverance. Amen? There are times when you're in a place and the only thing that's going to work is the deliverance of God. Remember the man who was beside the pool of Bethesda. He had a pervasive problem. He laid there day after day, month after month, year after year for 38 years. So I ask you today, how long has your problem been going on? Did it start yesterday? Do you have a problem today? Have you had a problem for a week, a month? Do you know that problems can have a good side? Problems can have a positive outcome. Problems can lead to experiences and lessons that are invaluable. Problems can lead to a greater depth in God. Jacob's problem was so big that it forced him to get alone with God. And that leads me to the second observation that I want to make today. Because not only do we have a pervasive problem, but I want you to see here, we have a prevailing prayer. A prevailing prayer. Jacob's problem was so big that he couldn't figure it out in his mind. It was bigger than his mind. It was bigger than his strength. It led him to a night of prevailing prayer. I want to ask you, Tay, do you know anything about prevailing prayer in your life? Do you know anything about what the old timers used to call praying through? Where you pray, you don't give up until there is an answer. I believe today, God answers all prayer. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And the tense there is ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. God answers all prayer. And it may be yes. He may say yes. He may say no. He may say wait. And when he says wait, that's where we need patience and diligence to wait on God until there's a breakthrough. See, Jacob didn't say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I'll deal with it tomorrow. That's a problem. I'll just deal with it tomorrow. No, he was in prevailing prayer all night. He refused to give up. He refused to say, I give. And the angel said, you have struggled with God and have prevailed. When I was doing this message, the Lord gave me this outline that I'm sharing with you today. And I was doing some research and thinking about Jacob's life and what I knew about it in the scripture. And I remembered these verses in Hosea chapter 12. Look at this. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. In talking about prevailing prayer, our Lord and Savior Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wrestled in prayer. He did it for us. He sweat great drops of blood and he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. The Apostle Paul had a pervasive problem that was hindering and dominating his life. He called it a thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times. And then the answer came. It might not have been the exact answer that Paul wanted to hear, but the answer came. Daniel prayed for 21 days. Remember that in Daniel chapter 10? Daniel prayed for 21. The first 20 days, There was no breakthrough. It was spiritual battle. There was an evil agent that hindered the answer. God heard the prayer, but there was a spiritual battle before there was a breakthrough. On the 21st day, there was a breakthrough as the angel Michael wrestled with this evil agent. And then the breakthrough came. Look at this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Folks, we're living in a dark world today, and there's a spiritual battle. This is about good and evil in our world. And there are times in the struggle that we're in, we feel like we're just fighting a losing battle. We may feel like throwing in the towel. We may pray and it might just seem like our prayers don't get beyond the ceiling, like there's a busy signal at the other end. But here's a life lesson for us today. And I want to encourage you, never, ever, ever give up on prayer. Never. Pray until there's a breakthrough. There's a third point that I want to share with you. Because I see also in the story of Jacob, I see what I'm going to call a passionate persistence. Jacob was passionate and he was persistent, not only in prayer, but in all of his life. Jacob was a professional champion wrestler. I don't know, I was thinking about this, and it may have been, I don't know if it was back, you know, in the 80s or if it even went beyond that, but when I first started hearing about professional wrestling, I heard all this hoopla of people talking about, is it fake or is it real, and all this. And so I thought, you know, at that time, I don't watch the wrestling like that now, but I thought I'm going to watch a couple of these episodes of wrestling to find out what it's all about. And it seemed to me like it's all about the comeback. I mean, here you have the one wrestler who's favored by the crowd. He's the good guy. And then you have the other wrestler who's mean and nasty and evil. And so the bad, the one that the crowd's booing, the bad dude, he takes the good guy and he body slams him over and over and over again in the ring, and then he wraps the ropes around his neck and throws him out of the ring, and the good guy's laying there like he's down for the count, and the bad guy's prancing around beating his chest and whatnot, and everybody's booing. But then suddenly there's this burst of energy, and the good guy, you know, he gets back up in the ring and he wins. He starts turning it around. And that's what I see in Jacob. Jacob was persistent. He was passionate. He was persistent. He would not give up until the victory came. This week I was reading the story. I was looking for a good illustration, you know, and I was reading about the 1968 Olympics. There was a man that came from Tanzania, and he was expected to do really well in the marathon race. In fact, some expected him to win. But this runner, John Akwari, he finished last. Not only did he finish last, he finished hours after everyone else had already finished. There were 18 of the runners that didn't even finish. They just dropped out. But what happened to John Akwari was that he was cramping very severely, and he fell during the race. He gashed his knee. He dislocated his shoulder. But he would not give up. He would not give up. And as the sun was going down, he drug himself across that finish line. And after the race, he said, "My country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. And folks, we're talking about Christian discipleship. What's it about? It's not how fast you start the Christian life. It's how you finish. You may be hurting. You may be cramping. You may feel like giving up, but you keep pressing on. You keep coming to church. You keep putting God first in your finances. You keep reading the Bible. You keep praying. You keep loving God and loving people and being intentional about it until you cross the finish line. The goal is before us. It's the finish line that we need to get to. Amen. We need to get to the finish line. Paul wrote to the Galatian church, and he said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, they started having problems in the church. And Paul said to them, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" Here's an exhortation that I'd like to share with you from God's Word, and I pray that this encourages you before I go to the final point that I want to make in this message today. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." What we're talking about here is sanctification. It's not all just about salvation. I'm just going to say a sinner's prayer. I'm going to kick back and... No. It's a race that we're running. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not get tired of doing what is good." Folks, I want to encourage you, let's keep loving God. Let's keep loving people. Let's keep seeking to serve God. And if we do, at just the right time, at the time of God's choosing, we will reap a harvest. Even here at First Baptist, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. One final point. I see here in Jacob's story what I'm going to call a positive power. You say, "Wait a minute, Pastor Mark. Jacob came out of this fight with a lasting limp. He was wounded. Where's the power in that?" That is exactly where the power is. I was talking about the Apostle Paul. Look at this conversation between Jesus and the Apostle Paul. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Then Paul said, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches." You won't hear people saying something like this in these days. Paul said, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So here's the message today. With a permanent limp, Jacob, the conniver, the schemer, the supplanter, he could not run anymore with that limp. He couldn't fight in his own strength. He had to rely on the power and the sufficiency of God in his life. And it's the same for us. We have a choice today. We can, same thing, we could do it our way or God's way. We could try to run our own lives with our own self-sufficiency, or we can depend upon God's power and His sufficiency. I want to make one other point here today. This is a perfect time for this sacrament of Holy Communion, because Jacob is a symbolic type of Christ. The Messiah, Jesus, came from Jacob's line. And just as God wounded Jacob, Jesus was wounded on the cross. His opponents tried to pin him. They nailed him to the cross. And then they put him in a sealed tomb. But Jesus got up off the mat. He's our champion, Jesus. He wrestled with sin, hell, and death, and He overcame. He arose from the dead, and He lives. And that is where our victory is.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His word. Blessings.